Father, we just come before you this morning thanking you for your goodness and your grace. God, you are worthy, Jesus, and we praise your name. God, we give you thanks because you're the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Father, you're the one who has come to save and to redeem as far as the east is from the west and the north to the south. God, I pray that as we enter into your word this morning, God, that you speak to our hearts, that you fill us with your truth, you fill us with your spirit. We love you, Jesus, and it's in your holy name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. What a beautiful time of worship, being able to begin our morning with baptism and then to sing praises to his name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you would, go ahead and turn in your copy of the Word with me to Psalm 123. We're in Psalm 122. I apologize, I'm getting confused. So, Psalm 122 with me this morning. We're in our series called Ascent, where we're going through the Psalms of Ascent. So, it's Psalm 120 all the way through 134 as we lead up to our Easter celebration this year. And as you're turning there, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever been excited, like so excited about something that it made you giddy or sleepless? And you've ever been like that before? Some of y'all? Okay, good. I'm not the only one. Some of y'all just don't get excited, I guess. So, don't know. But what I'm talking about, like you were so excited about something that you were going to do or really excited about somewhere you were about to go or about getting to see someone that you haven't seen in a while or meeting someone for the first time, right? We get really excited about these moments. I remember when we first took our girls to Disney World. It was quite the experience. We were all excited about the opportunity of going and seeing the happiest place on earth, right? And so, but in the time leading up to it, what was kind of going on is Jamie wanted to keep it a secret, right? She didn't want the girls to find out. She wanted to surprise them with it. So she worked hard in planning it, getting all the supplies needed, and doing everything that she needed to do leading up to it without them knowing. And she did an amazing job doing that. And so the night before the trip, the night before we got in our car and left and drove to Dallas to fly to Orlando, Jamie and I were so excited about the opportunity and sharing this opportunity with our girls that we didn't sleep a wink. Right, we pretty much just laid there so excited all night long, just awake. And so by the time we got to Orlando, we were dead. Right, we were so tired. But what was even more exciting is we had kind of told the girls, and I'm not promoting lying or anything like that, but we did. So confession. We told the girls that what we were doing is we were just going to Dallas so they could stay in a hotel and swim. Right, because there's not hotels that we can do that in here. We have to go to Dallas. And so we told them that we were going to Dallas, they can stay in a hotel and swim, and I kid you not, that's what they were more excited about than anything. And I'll get to tell you a little bit more in a minute. But we drove to Dallas the whole way there. They were like, when are we getting to the hotel? When are we getting to the hotel? And so we were like, just wait, right? Are we there yet? That type of question. And it's like, hey, go to sleep. So, but here's the thing. On our way there, when we got there, we parked in this parking lot, right at the parking spotlight, and Jamie had these gifts that she gave them to the girls, and they opened them, and what it was an opportunity to reveal them to them that we weren't actually staying in a hotel just to swim in Dallas. We were going to Disney. It was a really cool experience because they opened this up. I don't even remember what was in it, she could tell you, but they were shocked, right? They were surprised. But the only thing they thought about was going to that hotel and swimming. So, but I know one of the things they got was a shirt, so we all put on these shirts, and we went to Dallas Love Field, and we're walking through Dallas Love Field with these matching shirts on, revealing to everyone where we're going, right? Revealing to everyone that we're going to Disney. If you've ever been in Dallas Love or other airports, you've probably seen that before. But here's the thing. Not only were we revealing to everyone that we were going to Disney because of our shirts, I kid you not, like Darby, at this point in time, she was walking around telling everyone, hey, we're going to Disney, right? I mean, she was announcing it to the entire world that we were going to Disney because she was so excited about it. She was so filled with joy. Now, Now, like when we're in an airport and we see someone all decked out, and we know like they're in their Disney garb, and we're like, hey, you're going to Disney, right? And like, yeah, we're so excited. Like, oh, let me tell you something.
And we tell them about the Disney crash and that everyone's going to be crying and screaming and mad at each other and just in need of a nap. Trying to deflate that because we're jealous of them. But no, I'm kidding. We celebrate with them, right? We're excited with them and for them. But here's the thing. As I think about that experience, and as I think about other experiences like it that you might have, and I reflect on all the things that we tend to get excited about, things like vacations or a movie, a new movie coming out, right? Or an upcoming event, or the Cowboys actually having a chance of making it past the first round of playoffs for the first time in forever. Or maybe the arrival of a child, or, I mean, the list can go on and on and on, right? We can sit here and name all the things that we get excited about and all the things that make us excited and that fill us with joy. But here's the deal. Those things are things that we consider as gifts from the Lord, right? We consider them as something given to us by God as a source of joy or happiness. But it also reminds me and it also helps me realize that there are things in life that are gifts from God that we don't tend to always get as excited about, right? Things like going through the motions and going to work, doing the dishes, folding the laundries, taking out the trash. I don't know of anyone that jumps for joy over those things, right? And their heart leaps and gets filled with joy. Any of y'all get filled with joy when you realize you have to take out the trash again, right? You took it out yesterday and you realize you have to do it again. No one? Okay, that's what I thought. So, but here's the thing. Those are gifts from the Lord, aren't they? Right, they're given to us by God as a gift that we should realize are good things. And one of those things that we might tend to not get so excited about is this, coming to church on Sunday mornings. Right? Sometimes it's drudgery. Sometimes it's going through the motions. Sometimes it's a chore to get here. Sometimes it's really hard to wake our kids up in the morning and get them dressed and be here on time with a smile on our face. But here's the deal. Sometimes coming to church, or not sometimes, all the time, coming to church is a gift from the Lord. Right? If we're very honest with ourselves in this moment, I would bet that most of y'all have felt like it hasn't been a gift, that like it's been a chore at some point in your life. Some of y'all might feel like this morning. Right, you were forced to come here by your parents or by someone else, or maybe you just came because it's what we do. Right? And you might be sitting there thinking, man, I have to listen to Jason again. Jesus, come. Right? So Rich obviously is feeling that way. So I promise you don't hurt my feelings if you feel that way, I promise. But here's the deal. Today, right, as we continue on this journey towards Jesus by going through the 15 Psalms of Ascent, my hope and my prayer for all of us this morning is that we'll see and that we will understand and that we will know the joy and the excitement and the gift of what it is to be here this morning. That we'll know the joy that we can have when we come to this place and we worship the Lord, right? To know the why behind the what. To know and understand the importance of our week in and our week out meeting together in this place, and to know that it's a gift that brings peace and prosperity into our lives as we gather to worship our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. And here's the deal. I'm gonna confess this morning. I'm gonna start off with a confession to y'all that sometimes that's not my heart. Right? Sometimes I get up in the morning at 6 when my alarm goes off on Sunday, and I'm like, man, I want to sleep longer. Right, amen? Sometimes, right, I get up on Sunday morning and I want to just stay home. I want to cook breakfast and I want to hang out with my family and I want to do nothing for the whole day. Sometimes I don't step into this building full of joy and excitement about what God is going to do in each of your lives. And I'm confessing this to you because, one, I want you to know that I'm sorry. I'm sorry that that's not always my heart. I'm sorry I'm not always excited to be here. I'm sorry that I'm not always filled with joy about being in this place. But I also want you to know, and the reason I'm confessing is you're not alone if you feel that way too. You're not alone, right? It's part of our humanness. It's part of who we are. But in that same sense, the final reason I'm confessing this to you is because even though I might always start that way, or not always, sometimes start that way, the Lord, right, in his goodness and in his mercy and his grace always fills me with joy by the time I leave this place. Always. Right, when I get to see your faces and I get to hear the stories about what God is doing in your life, or I get to pray with you through the hardships and the trials, right, as suffering in the suffering, even though that doesn't make me happy in that moment, right, the fact that I get to walk with you in it fills me with joy. That you trust me and that you trust one another in those moments, it fills me with joy that we're a family that gets to do that together. It fills me with joy to see that he always accomplishes his word. And I hope and I pray that once we see and we understand this, that he does the same for you in our time together at what we call church. Right, so let's pray and we'll jump in to his word this morning. Father, I pray that as we look at this psalm, God, as we look at your word and what you have for us this morning, one, that you fill us with joy. That you fill us with your presence. God, and that we can open up our ears to hear and our hearts to receive what it is that you have for us this morning. God, we thank you and we praise you that your word always accomplishes its work, that it never returns void. And so this morning I pray that very thing, that in each and every one of our lives, your word will accomplish its task, whatever that may be. Whether it's correction, training, rebuking, encouragement, whatever it is, God, I pray that your word will accomplish this task this morning. We trust you in it and we expect it from you, Lord, because your word promises it. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. So over the past couple of weeks, kind of setting up for this psalm today, over the past couple of weeks, what we have seen so far is this pilgrimage or this journey of the people of Israel from their home place in Jerusalem, or from their home place, right, all the way to Jerusalem. And what they would do is they would travel to Jerusalem for the three different appointed feasts that God gave them to go up there for. And what they would do is they would sing these psalms, they would sing these songs as a form of worship on their journey, as a form of worship on their way to Jerusalem. And 2 weeks ago, when we started it in Psalm 120, right, we saw where they began, right, that they were far from home. They were far from the Lord, and that they were in a place that was surrounded by evil and lies and all of this stuff, right? In a place that they realized that they needed Jesus. They needed him, a place that begins with what we call repentance. And just to remind you, right, repentance is saying no to the ways of this world so we can say yes to Jesus. Right, that's what repentance is saying no to the things in this world and saying yes to Jesus. It's more than just turning from one thing. It's a turning towards the best thing. Right? Repentance is a turning towards Jesus Christ. And then last week in Psalm 121, we saw the people actually embarking on their journey. Right? We saw them looking up to the mountains and realizing where their help comes from, that their help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. But not only did we see that their help comes from the Lord, and are we reminded that Jesus is our help, what it is that we're reminded of in that psalm is that Jesus is our salvation, right? And that his salvation is a couple of things. One, his salvation is constant. He never leaves us. He never fails us. He never forsakes us. His salvation is comforting. It's secure. He protects every aspect of our lives. And we saw that his salvation is complete. It doesn't depend on what we can do, but it depends on what he has already done. Right, he is our Savior. And so this morning, in this psalm, in Psalm 122, it's a psalm that is written by King David, we're going to see that the people, they've actually now arrived in Jerusalem. They're standing at the gates of Jerusalem. They made it to where they're going, and they're filled with joy because they're there to worship the Lord. Check it out. In Psalm 122, starting in verse 1, this is what David writes. He says, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.' Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. Their thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Right, so this psalm, what we're going to see, and hopefully what you might see already, is this psalm is all about this. Right, it's what we call church. It's about gathering together to worship the Lord every Sunday. You see, worship is a gift that realigns our lives to a greater reality. Right, that's what worship is. It's a reorientation of our everyday lives to what matters the most. Right, it's a refocusing of our hearts and our minds on Jesus Christ. That's what worship is. That's what worship is all about, right? It's about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in our life with him, right? That's why we gather together. And I want you to notice what King David says right off the bat in verses 1-2. He says that he was glad to be there. Right, he says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. He was glad to be there. Right, he was filled with the joy of the Lord to be in the city of the Lord. He was filled with joy to be in Jerusalem, to be with his brothers and his sisters in Christ, to be with his brothers and sisters in the Lord, and to be surrounded by people who are coming together and who are uniting together for one purpose. Right, he's no longer far from home like we saw in Psalm 120. He isn't surrounded by the ways of this world any longer. He's not traveling through dangerous land, but instead he's surrounded by the presence of his people and he is filled with the joy of the Lord. Right, that's what worship does. Right, worship produces joy in our hearts. And it does this because it's a gift from the Lord that places us and positions us in such a way that we encounter his presence together, right? Not just individually, but we encounter his presence together. Listen, there's nothing special about this place, about this particular location. And I don't mean that disrespectfully or anything like that, but this place, right, is simply brick and mortar. It's wood and nails. It's concrete. It's things like that, right? There are a dime a dozen just like this church all over the United States when we're talking about the building. There's nothing special about this place, this building. But when we, right, the people, when we come together and we enter this place together and we sing songs to him and we hear his word proclaimed, that's when it becomes special. Because what happens is he meets us right here in this incredibly unique way, and he positions our hearts and our minds to experience him more, to know him more, and to grow closer to him. That's what he does, right? And that's what worship is all about. It's about experiencing God more so he can shape us into followers who live a life of worship every single day of our lives. Not just on Sundays, not just at connect groups, not just when we're out serving, but where we're in our workplaces, sitting behind our desks, or driving in that vehicle to the next job site, or whatever it is that we do, right? We come together so he can shape us and reorient our lives to his greater reality. And so that's why we sing the songs that we sing, right? We don't sing them because they make us feel good or because they have a great rhythm or beat to them or because they're popular on K-Love. Right, we sing these songs because they remind us of his sovereignty and his grace. Right, they help us to remember the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right, we sing them because they anchor us to this firm foundation of his truth, the word of God, in our lives. Right, they connect us to his presence. And so when we gather together for worship, the songs that we sing, right, they're uniquely selected to point us and to lead us closer to him. And then the word that we hear, right, is meant to connect us more to his presence, to connect us more to him, to help us build upon that firm foundation that we call Jesus Christ. Right, they're not here to simply help us feel good about ourselves or to be encouraged by them. And that does happen, but that's not their primary purpose. right? Our singing and our hearing of his word together are done to realign our hearts to him so he can shape us into everyday worshipers of him, right? And on top of that, this is one of the best things. This is something we get to do, right? It's not something we necessarily have to do. We get to do this, right? We get to come into this place. We get to be a part of his family. How amazing is that, that we get to do this? That the God of the universe, the maker of heaven and earth, desires that we be in his presence and that he be in our presence, right? That's what this is about. And what an honor that is. What a great joy that is, that we get to be in his presence and that he wants us in his presence. No matter what we did this week, no matter what we did yesterday, that he wants us in his presence. He wants us to be with him. He wants us to worship him. But if we're not careful, right, that's something that we can forget. It's something that we can easily lose sight of, that worship is something that if we're not careful can just become a routine or become something mundane. It's just a rut that we're stuck in, just something motions that we're going through on Sunday mornings or on our drive to work. But the Lord, right, in his goodness and his grace, what he has done for us, he's given us this rhythm. He's developed this rhythm for us in life because he knows that we need it. Right? He knows that we need to be reminded of his goodness. He knows that we need to be reminded of his power and his sovereignty over all things. And so he gave us this institution of the church. He gave us this daily or this weekly routine that we go through to come and be reminded and to gather together in corporate worship and to be a people who join together to encounter him. And again, the best part is we get to do it. Right, we get to worship him. Right, he doesn't force us to. He doesn't make us. He does desire it. Right, he does desire that we worship him. In fact, he created us as worshipers. Every single one of us sitting in this room are worshipers. Right, we just get to choose what it is that we worship. Right, we get to choose if we worship him as the loving creator and savior and giver of all good things. Or we get to choose if we worship those good gifts that he gives us, expecting them to give us more, which is idol worship. Right? So we get to choose if we worship him as the creator, sustainer, giver of all things, or we get to worship his gifts. Right? We get to choose, but we're all worshipers. And he gives us that option. He gives us that privilege. And it's such a joyful privilege when we choose to worship him and to encounter his presence together as his people, right? It's a joyful privilege when we get to be a part of something so incredible as his church, his bride. So worship, the first thing it does is it produces joy in our hearts. The second thing that we see from this psalm is worship is also a gift that brings people together. Right, it unites us. It's a gift that creates unity. Look at verses 3-4 with me. It says, Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. There are thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. Right, so Jerusalem, it was built as this incredibly unique city, this incredibly unique place that not only housed the temple of the Lord, the dwelling place of God, but it was unique because it was designed to bring people together, right, to unite people together, to bring the tribes of Israel together in worship of the Lord and to give thanks to the Lord together, to bring them together for one purpose and for one reason, right? Corporate worship, what we do every Sunday, is literally one of the most unique gifts on the planet. Think about that with me for a minute, right? We come together every Sunday morning with people who are completely different than we are, right? Who come from different backgrounds, from different cultures, who have differing opinions and ideas, who come from different places on the globe, who come together and who sing songs together. Where else do you go to sing songs with other people? Nowhere, right? Right? Worship is this incredibly unique gift that we have that brings us together to pray together, to give thanks to the Lord together, to share in the Lord's Supper together. Right? No other institution in the world is designed in this way. None. And what a unique place that was built by the Lord and that is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up and give thanks to the name of the Lord. Right? That's what we call church. And so what that means is that this, the church, right, not only the capital C church, but the little c church, the global church and the local church, right, because it is designed in such a way to bring us together, to unite us together, what that also means is it's a place that has no place, no room for things like division or hostility or prejudice towards others. Right, there's no place for things like racism or nationalism or hatred or any kind of hatred, for that matter, except for a hatred towards the enemy. Right, that's what brings us together, is a hatred towards the enemy, towards Satan. But not only that, even more than that, is our love for Christ, to worship him and to honor him and to glorify him. And listen, there is no place for all of these things, because worship reminds us of God's steadfast love for us and for others. Worship points us to the creator of all good things, all right things, and all beautiful things. Right? That includes all peoples. Worship brings us together, it unifies us, it bonds us because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Right? I love what D.A. Carson wrote about this. He says, the church is made up of natural enemies. What binds us together is not common education or common race or common income levels or common politics or common nationality or common accents, not even common jobs or anything else of that sort. Christians come together because they have all been saved by Jesus Christ, right? They are a band of natural enemies who love one another for Jesus' sake. That's what binds us together. Right, worship is a gift that brings us together as God's holy people for the purpose of giving him glory and honor. Right, that's what church is designed for, to be a place for the people of God to gather together and to be filled with joy as we encounter his presence, and to be unified as a holy nation and a royal priesthood of believers, as Paul says. Right, worship brings us together, it unites us. Worship is also a gift that creates this eager expectation or a longing for his coming kingdom. Right, look at verse 5 with me. It says, there the thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. Right, we look at that, and in that word judgment, that's a word that we typically don't like. Right, but we typically don't like it because it refers to, when we think of it, it refers to punishment or sentencing or getting what is deserved. Right, and it does mean those things. I'm not saying it doesn't, but what typically, when this word is referred to God, when it's used in reference to God, what it means is that God is taking all the wrongs of this world and he's making them right. Right, is God rectifying all wrong? Right? Is God healing what is broken because of sin and shame? Judgment is actually God's restorative grace. And his house is where this restorative grace can take place. Right? His church is where redemption can happen. It's us. It's within us. Right? We are ministers of reconciliation. We are redeemed to redeem so that Christ can use us to encounter other people so that he can redeem them as well. We are blessed to be a blessing, right? All those praises. And his house, his people, his church is where it happens. It's when we come into this place together with all of our baggage and all of our guilt and all of our pain, and we lay those things down, not at the door, right? Not out in our car, but we bring them in here and we lay them at his feet, and we leave him there for righteous judgment to occur and for healing and redemption and restoration to happen. Right? That's where we are realigned to his greater and ultimate reality, that one day all sad things will come untrue, as Samwise Gamgee once said. Right? That one day his coming again, will be to bring heaven to earth and to redeem and to restore all things. A day that we long for and that we hope for with eager expectation. But in the meantime, right in the here and the now, in that time in between, what we do is we come together and we worship as a body of believers, united together, being filled with the joy of the Lord. Right? We come and we sing songs that anchor us to his firm foundation. We make his word the center of our lives. And if you look at verses 6 through 7, what we're going to see is David lays out more things that we do as an act of worship. He says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Right? David lays out two things that we see here as an act of worship. The first is David says we're to pray for peace. And the second is we're to seek the good or the welfare of both our church and the city. Right? Those are ways that we worship. The first thing is we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Right, that word peace, we've talked about it a lot lately through Advent season and what it means, but it's the Hebrew word shalom. Right? It's perfect peace. It's a wholeness. It's a thriving. Right? It's life that happens when God breathes his life into ours. Right? That's what we're to pray for when we pray for one another. We're to pray for peace in their hearts. That's what we're to pray for when we pray for our enemies, right? When we pray for our loved ones, when we pray for our leaders, and we're to pray for the peace of God to fill their lives. But I want you to notice something with me, right? David is not saying that we're to pray for peace for Jerusalem, although we should be, right? We should be praying for peace for Jerusalem and for Islamabad or for Amarillo or for Paris or for Frankfurt or Tokyo or name the city. Or to pray peace for all of those places. But what David is saying here with me is look at it. It says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. The peace of Jerusalem. What he is saying is that we're to pray for the peace that is found in Jerusalem to be found in us. Right, and here's the best part. You ready for it? Jesus is the peace of Jerusalem. Jesus is the peace of Jerusalem. In Isaiah 53, verse 5, Isaiah wrote, but he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us, what? Peace. And with his wounds, or by his wounds, we are healed. Jesus is our peace. Right? He is the peace of Jerusalem. He is the Prince of Peace. And so when we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, what we pray for, we pray that come thou long expected Jesus, let your kingdom come, let your will be done here at Crossroads, here in my life as it is in heaven. What we're doing is we're praying for the peace of Jerusalem to flood our church and to flood our lives and to flood our city. Right? We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And as we pray for that peace, we're also to seek the good of our city. Right, to seek the good of our church and the good of our city. We seek for ways to be the hands and the feet and the mouthpiece of Christ right here at Crossroads Church and right here in Amarillo, Texas. Right, worship, this thing that we call church, as much as we're tempted to make it about ourselves, as much as we're tempted to make it about us, right, it's not. It's not about us. It's about him and his kingdom. It's about taking the good news of our city or of Christ and connecting our city to it, right? Of connecting people to Christ with his good news, right? And so that's what we're going to go do on January 30th, right? For the city. That's what this is all about. It's about saying that we're going to be more than just hearers of the word, but we're going to be doers of the word, right? We're going to be a people who go out and be the hands and the feet to our city, that we're going to take worship and prayer outside of these walls through an act of service and prayer. And the first one, like I was saying earlier, the one that's going to take place on January 30th, what we're going to do is we're going to go out into our city and we're going to pray for our city. This first one is all going to be about prayer and starting out for the city and the other Sundays to come of praying for our city and looking for ways that we can connect with and minister to and influence our city. And so what we're going to do is we're going to go out and we're going to pray over different areas of influence, things like City Hall, our immediate neighborhood, the ASD administration building, Hodgetown, news and media outlets, and more. Right, all these different places that influence and impact our city. We're going to go and pray that God will use this church, that he will use Crossroads Church to bring peace and prosperity, to bring shalom to our city. And we're going to pray for his kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. And then we're going to come back here. We're going to unite together. We're going to share some stories. We're going to share a meal together. We'll sing a few songs, pray together, and then leave and come back next week. And next, the week after that, we'll come together once again as the church, centered around the word of God, singing praises to his name, praying for the peace of Jerusalem to flood our city, and seeking the good of the church and the city by both loving and serving others. That's what we're all about. Right, to sum it up, worship is a gift that realigns our lives to God's greater reality. His greater reality, not ours. Right? It fills our hearts with his joy. It brings us together in unity. It creates this atmosphere of eager expectation of God's kingdom coming here on earth as it is in heaven. It leads us to pray for peace, the peace of Jerusalem to fill our city, the peace of Jesus to flood our hearts and our homes as we seek the good and as we seek the welfare of our church and our city. I want to end with this passage from Jeremiah 6:16, and it's actually the passage where the name of our church came from. It says this, it says, "Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls." And I share that with you because, listen, church, God has already given us his ancient path. He's given it to us. He has given us a path that leads to him, and his name is Jesus Christ. And as we come together to worship and to glorify his name, to worship Jesus, our Savior King. We come together and we walk on this path, living a life of worship to him. And as we worship him, his word promises us that we will find rest for our souls. We will find peace, his peace, the peace of Jerusalem. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, you are good. Father, we thank you that we do get to come together into this place and we get to sing songs to your name. We get to hear your word proclaimed. We get to see one another, hug one another, shake one another's hands, meet new people. But God, don't let us forget that, one, it's all about you. It's all about worshiping and glorifying you. It's all about realigning our hearts and our minds and our lives to your greater reality, to your kingdom. God, that's what it's about. And as we do that, as we realign our hearts to you, we are filled with joy as we encounter your presence, and we thank you for that. We are united together as natural enemies, but coming to love you and to love one another because of your great love for us. Father, and we are here longing and waiting for your kingdom to come and to flood and to fill this place. Every week, every day. But even more than that, we're waiting for your kingdom to come and your will to be done and your reign to be complete as you redeem and restore all things unto yourself. So God, in the meantime, we pray for your peace. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for the peace of Jesus Christ that fills our hearts and our minds. And we seek the good. We seek the welfare of this church, your church, in our city. God, I pray, Father, that this morning Lord, that you will open our eyes to your ancient paths. God, as we stand at your crossroads and look, that you will show us your way, that you will show us Jesus Christ, and that we will follow him all the days of our life. God, whether that is for the first time ever, or Father, we're choosing once again, as we're reminded of your goodness and grace, to continue to follow you. Every day we need that reminder. So God, we thank you for the gifts that you have given us to remind us of that. We thank you for this gift that we call the church, where we come together and worship you. So we're going to do just that. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.